Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 248, stanzas 1 and 4. The man who once has found abode within the secret place of God shall with Almighty God abide, and in his shadow safely hide. 1 and 4 of Psalter 248. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Genesis chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward and southward, and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee and will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, and then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal, long-suffering God, who dwellest between and amidst the cherubims, who continually exalt and praise and magnify in thy holy and thy worthy name, thou who art magnified also and by the creatures here in this world, as we may often sing it together, all nature praises God. Lord, thou knowest us, the crown of thy creation, which thou hast made in thy own image, and how that we have turned away from that praise, that service of thee. Lord, we have steeped ourselves in the midst of death, in the midst of sin. We have rebelled against thy goodness. We have forsaken thee in all that thou art. Oh, that thou thyself would look upon us when we are in this fallen state of Adam, that thou would come in thy mercy, as thou hast promised to do unto each and every one of thy own children, for the sake of thine only begotten Son, who thou hast sent into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Lord, wilt thou look upon each and every one of us, not in thy wrath, lest thou bring us to nothing, but wilt thou view us in and through thine only begotten Son, in whom alone we can receive mercy and grace, from him who is so holy, so righteous, and so just. Lord, we deserve to be cast away from thee forever and forever. Thou knowest what our heart contains within us, that it is but a fountain of iniquity, of sin, of carnality, of vanity, of the service of this world. And we have in ourselves no desire after the true and the living God. Neither, Lord, have we power to bring ourselves again, even as thy people did lay in Babylon, under captivity of the enemy and under their power. So it is also in the midst of thy church, when they have sinned against thee, and when they have departed from thee days without number, that they have no power to bring themselves again, but they so often have their harps lying, hanging upon the willows. Lord, wilt thou remember thy Zion? Oh, could it be the time, the set time, for thee to return and to bring about thy Zion again, in humility, in dust, and in ashes. For this is the beginning of that return that comes not from them, but it comes from thee, who art the first and the last, who art the beginning and the ending. and who, if thou wouldst forsake thy church, that it would never return to thee. Lord, wilt thou remember us then in the state and in the condition in which we may be, each one of us in this morning hour? Oh, we are traveling together to an eternity that will never end. And Lord, thou knowest the seriousness of this, but we do not have it laid upon our hearts by nature. We go on as so blind, in so much calmness, without any impression in our soul that awakens us to our dangerous state. Lord, wilt thou look upon us, and wilt thou open our blind eyes? It is possible that we even deceive ourselves for that never-ending eternity, because thou sayest in thy word that we have hearts that are deceitfully wicked above all things, and they cannot be known. Lord, wilt thou thyself remember us if it is so? Oh, if we take upon ourselves thy holy name on our lips in a confession, in a profession, and the root of the matter does not lie in us. Oh, we beseech thee that thou thyself would uncover us then, and make us true within, make us upright before thee and with our own souls, that the truth of our state may be known unto us, that we might learn to mourn therefore, and that we may need that salvation that thou hast accomplished in thine only begotten Son. Lord, to whom else can we go but unto thee, who has the words of eternal life, and who can speak but one word, and we shall be turned again, and we shall come each one to that place of in the dust of self-abasement before thee. Lord, who can bring himself in such a place for the first time or by renewal? It all must come from thee. Oh, we beseech it of thee, thou whose arm is not shortened and whose ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Oh, that thou would look upon us when we still are traveling upon that broad way that leadeth to an everlasting death. Oh, that thou would have mercy upon us in this thy holy day, when thy word will go forth, when thou wilt give it in our midst, that it may be to the pricking of our hearts and of the hearts of our dear children. Oh, remember our children and our youth. Lord, it is not in our power to give to ourselves that true conversion. And it is not in our power to give it unto them, to open their eyes to see the truth, to open their eyes to see their own state before God. Lord, for this we are so dependent upon thee. Oh, that thou would lead them also in that way of that publican who had to smite upon his breast, not daring to look up unto heaven, and to cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, that thou may begin also that work in our dear children, that they may be stopped also upon their way, that they may be brought to a standstill, that they may be given to cry out of that deep need, out of a missing of their Maker, their Creator, whom they may remember in the days of their youth, and that way that thou leadest all thy people may be that way that thou would lead us and our dear children. May thou keep them also in the days in which we do live, where Satan goes about as an angel of light, to deceive, if it were possible, the very elect. Oh, how easily then that we can be drawn unto ways that seem to be right then, that are not upright before thee. Lord, we beseech thee for the opening of our eyes and the eyes of our children. May thou remember each and every one that has special needs in this life. Be with the widows, the widowers, and the orphans. We remember especially and that mother and grandmother in the nursing home. Lord, may thou be on her right and on her left hand. May thou strengthen her from above and within her soul. May thou supply for all the needs of her body. May thou visit her in this thy holy day. And may she taste a little of that which she may testify in former days. And that thou would renew thy own work. Lord, wilt thou supply for her in the place where she is, and all those who are destitute, all those who are lonely, all those who suffer from serious diseases, all those families wherein there are difficulties and troubles between husbands and wives, with children, parents. Lord, wilt thou give what we cannot give? And wilt thou supply in the needs and all the cares that all our sin has brought upon us in this life? Lord, wilt thou go before us in this day? It is thy holy day. And we hope to attempt to bring thy word. Thou knowest who and what we are. Lord, it is a task that is not fit for human shoulders. And we stand before men. That each one has a soul and is traveling to eternity. Lord, the matter is such a serious one. And we ourselves, we cannot fill ourselves with an impression of thy greatness, thy holiness, and of with an impression of the great need. Oh, that thou may come unto us in this day. May thou fill us with thy Holy Spirit in a double measure, and that we may be enabled to bring forth things new and old out of thy holy law, and that also this which we may consider from the life of one of us, of those thy servants in this world so long ago, that we may receive also instruction and lessons. And that thou thyself would bless this thy holy word. Lord, forgive all that is sinful and amiss, that which we do, that which we speak, but also that fountain of corruption that lies within us and what comes forth from moment unto moment. Wilt thou cleanse it? Oh, wilt thou wash away all the iniquity and all the filth? And wilt thou see us in and through the blessed, perfect obedience of thy dear and only beloved Son, in whom thou art so well pleased? Oh, we ask it, Lord, in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 227, all stanzas. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. My soul is longing, fainting thy sacred courts to see. My heart and flesh are crying, O living God, for thee. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 227. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. I think, congregation, he could not go out fast enough. That Abram fled out. What do we read of Peter? That he went out and he wept bitterly. It is a wonder if the Lord may bring us out of those places which we bring ourselves into in this life and from which we are not able to deliver ourselves. And then when the Lord is making a way for his people, then that people, they are made so willing. And they may acknowledge the Lord that he has made for them such a way. Thus, there lies in it a manifestation of the struggle, and that is lying in the heart of that church. Because we heard that Abram has come out of Haran, out of Ur, and he has come out with a burning heart, and that he has come out with so much willingness to follow in this way of the Lord. But Abram, he has fallen into the way of deceit, fallen into the way of carnality, fallen into the way of self-help, and into a place where only the Lord could with his hand come to deliver him. David, he needed the Lord to come and to say, "Thou art the man." And then David wept bitterly, but he was so glad that he may come to such a place, because for him the snare was broken and he was escaped. There can be such a difference in the life of God's people from one time to another. The life of faith, but not only from time to time, also from person to person in the life of God's church. And we wish to consider something of that with you in this morning hour from the words of our text, which you can find in Genesis 13 and thereof in the 12th verse. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. So far, the words of our text. Evident distinctions between two children of God. First, in their characters. Second, in their spiritual life. Third, in their received blessings. Evident distinctions between two children of God. First, in their characters. Second, in their spiritual life. And third, in their received blessings. Thus, first, in their characters. And how is it that we may know something about a person's personal character? Character is something that becomes evident, that becomes manifest in our life, when we live it out, and when the actions and the words, they are seen and they are heard by other people. And then we are able to perceive what the character of a person is. There is a remarkable similarity concerning the way Abraham has come out of Egypt and the way that his descendants later would also come out of Egypt. We know that both of them went down into Egypt for the same reason, because there was famine in this land of Canaan. We can read how that both of them were thrust out of that land of Egypt when the Lord did plague Pharaoh and his household. And each of them has also, when they come out, they came out laden with the riches and with the goods of this land of Egypt. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Actually, the word rich here, that means heavy. So Abram came out heavy with gold and with silver. These were gained by Abram's misconduct in the land of Egypt, not purposefully by him, but so the Lord has guided everything so that Abram also may come out laden with all the goods, the spoils of this land of Egypt. The riches of the world, they are really for the service of the true church of God. And the Lord is going to see to it, even when that church is not seeking after the riches of this world, that his church will be cared for in this world. Indeed, riches can be very heavy. The poor in this world know a little about this heaviness, so that they cannot imagine what it means for riches to be heavy upon the shoulders of those that own them. But the possessors of riches must often experience this heaviness, and that is not only within the church, but even for those outside of the church in this world. If riches are honestly gotten, then riches are a gift of God. They are not something that we must despise. Actually, they are for Abram already a part of that blessing which the Lord has promised him, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. But we can read that these riches, the gold, the silver, the cattle, that was so great with Abram and with his nephew Lot, that whole land of Canaan was not able to bear both of them together. So there is not enough room for all of their flocks. And this congregation becomes a source of trouble for Abram and for Lot. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. The Reverend Thomas Scott writes the following about this: when they are not anxiously coveted and eagerly pursued, and improperly confided in, and inordinately loved, when they come by God's blessing, and when they are received thankfully and moderately enjoyed and carefully improved, and then riches may be ornaments of godliness and means of usefulness. But, so on the other hand, they are often encumbrances to the possessors and sources of contention and separation between brethren. They frequently exclude men from comfortable society and many spiritual advantages. Thus, the weight, the burden that is often associated with riches, the prosperity of the time in which you and I live with our children, the great temptation of riches for our flesh, the fear of losing them, the guilt that is felt in our heart for the abusing of them, the account that we have to give unto God for all the substance that He has entrusted unto us. Famine, wandering, that did not separate Abram and Lot, but riches have made a separation between these two children of the Lord. And how often do we not see this also in the distribution of an inheritance? How that when there are great riches, then there is often a division among the children. Strife, we read, that begins between the herdmen. Probably, boys and girls, they are arguing over the pasture land, the best land for the cattle. Probably they are arguing over the water that these cattle may drink. Thus, the servants of Abraham, the servants of Lot, they are arguing, they are striving over borrowed land. That was land that belonged to them as strangers and as pilgrims. They are striving over that which they have received from the Lord as travelers upon their way in this life. That is evidence of what our carnal tempers are. When we are striving in this world over all those things that are temporary, all the things that the Lord has given to us for a little while, as we are traveling through, and that we have to leave all behind us very soon. Abram said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my brethren and thy herdmen and thy herdmen. For we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." That says also much about the character of Abram. What? Solomon says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." What does Abram see? He sees the strife that is between these herdmen. He sees it as only a beginning. And then he foresees that this strife between the herdmen, that will bring strife also between Lot and himself. And for this, Abram has no desire. And this he wishes to forego. And then we especially read here, that the Canaanite and the Perizzite, they are dwelling in the land. Therefore, he says, "Let there be no strife between me and thee." And Abram is ready to deny himself for the sake of peace between him and Lot. Solomon says, yielding, pacifieth great offenses. Abraham actually holds the superior place. Not only is Abram older, but to whom has the Lord spoken? To whom has the Lord given the promise concerning this land that was not unto Lot, but that was unto Abram? And yet Abram is going to Lot in that way of great self-denial and giving to Lot that first choice, denying himself for what? Denying himself for the sake of peace with his brother? Is that also what you do, boys and girls? Is that what you do also, young people? And that there may be no strife between you and your brother or you and your sister? That you say, let us not fight together. But if you will have this, then I will take the other. And if you will take the other, then I will take this. May you remember your whole life long that will be for great peace and happiness in your household, for your father and for your mother, a great pleasure when you may together follow this way of Abram. And then it is not only character, but it is also grace that is playing that part in that choice of Abram to do so. When he sees the Canaanite and he sees the Perizzite dwelling in the land, and when he knows that they are also watching, they are observing everything that is being done, oh, then in a special way, Abram does not want to bring a blot upon the name of the Lord. And in front of the Canaanite and the Perizzite, Abram will not strive with his brother Lot. Lot is also a child of the Lord. And yet his character is so different from that of Abram. Thus grace, that does not change a person's character. Although grace may modify a character somewhat. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Thus Lot does not hesitate to take up this offer of Abram. He will make the first choice. That also says something about the character of Lot. And Lot lacked respect for his older uncle. He lacked respect for his age. He lacked respect for his wisdom. He lacked respect for the grace that God had given to him. He lacked respect for that calling of the Lord in which he had to depart out of Ur of the Chaldees. We can have much religion in our life, but if we lack respect, that is a very serious matter. We must say in general in the world in which we live, and that there is less and less respect. That is for authority in this world, that is for authority within the church, that is for authority within the home. We hope, young people, and that will not be your way to follow after the way of this world and to speak in disrespect of parents and of all authority under whose hand it is pleasing the Lord to rule and to govern you. On the other hand, as rulers, as governors, in churches, in offices in this world, as parents, and then how much foolishness on our behalf does not cause this lack of respect among our children and among our youth, among the people in general in this world. Thus, the respect that is something that needs to be earned. Lot went before. Lot chose before his uncle, not only out of disrespect, but also out of covetousness. He doesn't dare let his uncle choose first. Why not? Well, lest he lose what he thinks is the better part. He had so much already. But with everything that he had already, he still did not have enough. Thus, covetousness that is laying in the heart of this man, or who can put his hand into his bosom and take it out clean. And when we consider such covetousness, and the more that we may receive in this world, the more it seems a person is dissatisfied and that he desires after in this world. But now that choice that was not only having to do with his character, now we see also something about that spiritual life in Lot, and that is also guiding his choice in this matter. That is our second thought, the distinction in their spiritual life. Lot has to make a decision. Shall I go to the right hand or shall I go to the left hand? How many decisions do not come in our life, day by day? What shall we do? Now, what is our practice? Well, what did Lot do? We read here, and Lot lifted up his eyes. If only we may read that Lot lifted up his eyes unto the Lord. And that Lot said to the Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? If only we may read, as Moses later said to the Lord, Lord, if thy presence go not up with us, then carry us not up hence. Or if only such a desire may be laying in the heart of Lot in these moments. We don't read this. Now we read something else. We read, he lifted up his eyes to this world. He beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Thus he looks at the world. He sees that this is a very fruitful place. It was so fruitful that it reminded him of the Garden of Paradise. So fruitful, and that it reminded him of Eden. That it reminded him of Egypt as it was watered by that great river Nile. And this is the way that Lot is making his choice. He is thinking more of this world then he is thinking of the next world. He thinks more of earthly prosperity than he thinks of the need of his own soul and of the soul of his future family. Does not seem to grieve Lot that he will now be separated from his uncle Abram, from his conversation, from his daily worship, from his instruction. Could understand it if it was of the world. We could understand it if it was of someone who had a mere external profession of religion. But Lot, he is also a child of the Lord. Thus we see what a low condition that child of the Lord has come to in his life. that church can be so, so far from the right place, so that we can hardly see a difference between the people of the Lord and the people of the world in their choices, in their desires, and when the way that they are living out this life. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. They separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord, exceedingly sinners. So are all men. So were also Lot. So is also Abram. But this word that in a very special sense is being used to denote an open, outward wickedness. It is an exceeding wickedness. And now the Holy Scriptures are relating to us also what these people actually were, the sin in which these people lived. It is a great, it is an open pollution of their body, as we have in our day. They lived in a very beautiful, they lived in a very prosperous country. And this prosperity that they received, that was used as in order to give freedom to the lust of their flesh. Then what do we read about Lot? We read that he pitched his tent toward Sodom. What does that mean? That means up to Sodom. That means as far as Sodom. No, not in Sodom. Not yet. No, Lot does not dare yet to enter and to dwell within this city. But it is for him a direction which he chose. And he is moving little by little in the direction of this wicked city. Up to, as far as. Thus, Lot has a good intention. There is going to be a limit. Lot is going to control himself. He is only going to live nearby this city. And he is going to make an honest living by trading with these wicked people. Later, it becomes evident what has become of these good intentions. Later, then we read that he dwelled in Sodom. Later, we read that he sat in the gate of Sodom, which means that he was also a member of the council of Sodom. Perhaps he thought, well, maybe I can be a good influence here in this wicked city. When I will sit on the council and when I will give my input, then we can guide these people also. Do you understand it, young people? Here was not a man just of the world. Here was one of God's own children. And he had such good intentions. But what happened to his intentions? Well, they all were turned upside down, not in a moment. No, eventually. And then we can read of the influence that this city had upon him. And that when he went to dwell nearby, and that there is a dulling of the sensation also in this man. What a dangerous thing to go up to decide we are going to go as far as. We may have good intentions in this world, but do you see how even God's child was overcome? And do we think that we are stronger than this man and that we are able to control ourselves, that we will be able to set a limit on the evil that dwells within our hearts, and that we know I am not going to be drawn into those ways of sin? We wonder what these Sodomites really thought when Lot came to dwell among them. Probably inwardly they are laughing, because the world that is rejoicing at the backsliding of the true church of God. Later, when his life is testifying against their wickedness, well, then they would just as soon as not have had him dwelling in their midst. And finally, when he begins to rebuke them for their wickedness, and then they would thrust him altogether out of their city, mixing with the men of this world. That was the sin by which the sons of God, we read, before the flood, did destroy themselves and their children. They learned of their ways, and slowly on that wickedness of the world that is prevailing also in the life of the children of those sons of God. And he pitched his tent toward Sodom. What a difference between the life of Lot and the life of Abram. These are two children of the Lord. It is true, in the famine, Abram, he went down into that land of Egypt. It is true that there, even Abram, the father of the faithful, he has fallen into sin. But one thing Abram could not do, and that is, Abram could not go back unto that land of Ur. And after the Lord took him, and after the Lord delivered him out of this fall, where does he go? Then Abram flees that place of temptation. And what does he do? He goes back unto that place where formerly he had built an altar unto the Lord. Oh, that was the place where Abram felt so safe. That was the place where the Lord had appeared unto Abram. And then he seeks that place out again. Then Abram seeks to strengthen those things that remain and that are in him ready to perish. Don't read that he built an altar in that land of Egypt. How could it be? When we live a life of deception, when we live a life of the lie, and then we live not a life of close communion with the Lord. But what a wonder is that restoring grace of God, that the Lord draws Abram back unto himself again. And he brings Abram back into that place of contrition, into that place of confession, unto that place of supplication. Then what do we read? We read this, that he calls on the name of the Lord. that is, congregation, after he has sinned so grievously that he calls on the name of the Lord. Did you ever feel freedom to do so? After you have been walking in the way of sin, to call on the name of the Lord? Then you say, Abram, how is that possible that you can now pray to God again? Do you know how it is possible? Because Abram is laying something there upon that altar. He is laying there a sacrifice. And Abram is in that moment looking forward to that which that true church of God may in our day look back upon. Then by faith Abram may look and he may see that lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And that is now the only reason that Abram dares again to bow his knees and to pray unto the Lord. Then he may believe that the Lord is going to send that seed of the woman that is going to bruise that head of that serpent. Then he may believe that the Lord is going to pay that price also for his own sin, to take it all away in his sight, that he also may be clean. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? We read many times that Abram built an altar unto the Lord. We do not read this of Lot. That is a token of something. That is a token of that close life that Abram may live. And there Abram may call upon the name of the Lord, and he may receive freedom to do so. And then that close life that also has a reward with it, even in this life. That is our last thought. After we sing from Psalter 204, stanzas 1 through 4, O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart. Though life seems vain, burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair until in thy house of prayer all was made plain. 1 through 4 of Psalter 204. Our last thought, evident distinctions in their received blessings. There was an evident difference in the life of Abram and Lot. Children of the Lord, Lot lived close to this world. Abram could not remain far away from the Lord. What was now the blessing of that close life that Abram may live? And what is now the blessing, and that close life continues to bring in the life of that true church of God? Lot, he chose the better land in this world. But Abram, he lost nothing by that choice of Lot. Lot did not realize what a care, didn't realize what a vexation that was going to be in his life by this choice. And how is that not so often so? Lot, he was younger. Lot, he was inexperienced in life. And how often is this not so also with you, young people? When you have to make choices in this life, then how often is it not so that you do not realize what that choice is going to bring that you are now making? We can read later that Lot, he vexed his righteous soul day by day. He had everything. He had riches, he had prosperity, and everything that he could want in this world. But he had not peace with it in his soul. He was vexed day by day. You say, why didn't he leave it? Well, it is likely in that he has taken his wife from this place. It is likely that he could not leave it anymore. It is likely that his character was not strong enough, and that he was able to separate himself from that choice that he has made in his youth. And eventually he is forced out. And then we read that his wife still retained the love of that silver and that gold within her heart. And then he lost everything. He lost all his riches in this world, which really had meant so much to him. What dealings the Lord sometimes has to have with his own children. What happened to that beautiful country that Lot chose? It became a wilderness. It is now the Dead Sea. It is now completely barren. Nothing grows there. All what is today fruitful, tomorrow may be a barren, dry wilderness. And what is today, young people, in your mind, what is today so hopeful, what is today looking with so much beauty, so glorious, tomorrow may be as the Dead Sea. Congregation, in the choice, Lot, he only considered the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. How are we making our choices in this life? Are there not lessons that we may learn also, you young people? How do we make our choice of our friends? Are they those who will bring us up to? Are they those that will bring us as far as that land of Sodom? So that we will become immune very slowly, no, not overnight, but very slowly immune to all of that wickedness, so that we are able to dwell in their midst. How do we choose our spouse in this world? How do we choose our place of occupation, where we will live? All the things that are carnal in this world. To Abram, riches, they meant so little. And yet he received it all from the Lord. To Lot, they meant so much. And they may have them for a little while. Then they are all taken away. Not that Lot was finally condemned. But what did Lot have to miss? Lot had to miss, as one of God's children, many things that Abram may enjoy in this life. There is a reward. There is a reward already in this world, as they are travelers, as they are pilgrims. Not because they are pilgrims. Not because they separate themselves, but it is a blessing upon that pilgrim life. It is a blessing upon that separation. What may Abram enjoy? Abram may enjoy something of a blessed communion with the Lord that we never read of his nephew Lot. Even after that Abram has fallen into sin. Oh, then Abram may see something. He may behold something of that lamb that taketh away that sin of the world. Thus Abram, in that close life, he may experience something of the power of that shed blood of that Lamb of God, who would one day come upon Calvary's hill. There is so much to be learned of him. There is so much of that grace that is to be experienced by the true church of God already in this world. One sight of that mediator that is worth the renunciation of all that we can find here below. Oh, to be received into that blessed communion that is riches above all the riches that we are able to find in this world. What do we read? We read the Lord came and the Lord spoke to Abram. We do not read this of Lot. Congregation. Would we be willing to renounce all this world if only that the Lord would come and that the Lord would speak unto my soul? The Lord comes to Abram in a time of grief. No, it is not grief about earthly riches, but the Lord comes to Abram in a time of grief over his own nephew Lot. That is a man that did mourn for him, just as he would have mourned for his own son. And that behavior of Lot that could do nothing but make Abram sad. But what does the Lord say to Abram? And the Lord said to Abram after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Thus we heard before of Lot. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and he beheld the plain of Jordan, and he coveted it. Here we read of the Lord, and he commands Abram also now to lift up his eyes and to look. To look upon what? Upon that which the Lord is going to give unto him. The Lord is not yet finished showing unto Abram that land that he has promised him. There is much to see. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. But it has not only to do with temporal blessings, but it has especially to do with spiritual blessings, because the words that we read here cannot merely be applied to the things of this life. He speaks about his seed that shall be as the dust of the earth. But we read that the Lord is going to give this land unto that seed forever. That is, to all eternity. And Paul, he also makes an application. He says, if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abram's seed and heirs according to the promise. Thus that seed, that has not only to do with his natural seed, but has to do with that coming mediator. Thus, what is now the temporal reward for Abram's despising of all of the blessings that are in this world? What is the reward? Abram, he is lifted up above this world. He is lifted up to a higher contemplation. He is lifted up not to an earthly inheritance, but he is lifted to an eternal inheritance, to a future inheritance, to a spiritual inheritance. And this is now the special and the blessed contemplation that may be given to those who may put the world behind their back. And then there is nothing that looses a man so much from this world as the contemplation of these higher blessings. Lift up now thine eyes and look. So the Lord is saying to all of his strangers and all of his pilgrims, as they are traveling through the course of this world, even though they are so guilty, even though they have fallen time and time into sin, but there is so much in that blessed mediator for a poor and a wretched sinner in this world. And the Lord is not yet finished showing unto them something of that land. As they are traveling in the Meshach of this world here below, the bride, she found it impossible to express what the Lord had showed unto her. That he was so white, that he was so ruddy, that he was the chiefest among 10,000, that he was altogether lovely. And then, for such a wretched creature as she was, that she had to say, I am black, but comely. And so she may see a little bit of that good land lift up now thine eyes and look, then the desolate, they may see that mediator. They may see him when he is standing in the breach between God and their own soul. And then they may hear him. They may hear the Lord himself speak and say that I will cleanse them from all their iniquity and from all their sin, wherewith they have sinned against me in that close life. Then the Lord is showing a little bit of that blessed land unto those strangers and those pilgrims here below, and that may travel with a little bit of that blessed comfort, and then he may reveal himself as their prophet, as their priest, and as their king. The Lord, he says, I will cause him to draw near unto me, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this, he says, that does approach, that does incline his heart to approach unto me? That was the life of Abram. And what does the Lord say of that people? He says, ye shall be my people, and I will be your God, and so they may see a little bit of that land. Congregation, O people of the Lord, may there not be a little of that holy jealousy of this man, of this Abram, who may despise all the present benefits, that he may behold something of that promise that shall last to all eternity. Oh, that Lot may be a warning unto the true church, and that we may flee from all that is carnal and all that is vain, and that we may desire more and more to see a little glimpse of that heavenly portion that is laid away for those who have sinned against him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O give us the blessed choice of thy servant, who may turn his back unto all that is of the world, and that he may turn his back unto all that is carnal. Remember thy people in all this struggle with the old man and all that lies within, and may thou grant them again to turn. O draw, Lord, and then we will run after thee. And wilt thou bless thy word? Wilt thou forgive all our sins in speaking and in listening? For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter 52, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thou, Jehovah, art my shepherd. Therefore I no want shall know. In green pastures thou dost rest me, leadest where still waters flow. And when fainting, sweet refreshment dost bestow. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 52. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.